Good morning, and welcome to this service of worship at First Presbyterian Church. I'm glad to see so many familiar faces, and also to welcome the Alex Andrews fan club gathered in great numbers down front. What a great day for him and for us as a family and for you as family and friends. If you're watching at home, we're delighted to have you. If you look up the church on our website, you'll be able to find a bulletin and follow along with us. And for those of you here, let me draw your attention to the front of the bulletin. The beautiful circle there both begins and ends and marks the most significant event in the life of the church. You know, perhaps, that Advent is coming, those Sundays that lead us to Christmas. But this could very well be a halo surrounding the Christ child, could be the very start of the Christian year. Or, thought otherwise, this could be the crown of thorns that crowned Jesus' head when he was crucified. In fact, it was a simple crown that signifies today as Christ the King Sunday. It completes the liturgical, the church year, by saying that we've come from his birth now to celebrate the fact that he reigns in heaven, and that annual cycle begins afresh next week. So, our year completed today. If you look inside, we can look together at some announcements. Ken McKenzie, who likes to be known as Ken, will be coming next week as our interim pastor. You're going to like him a lot. He's a very easy guy. Some of you will remember that he's preached here before. I thank the good people who provided flowers today for Dick Neely and for me. It has been a delight to serve our church during these 4 months, and I shall be glad to join Dick in the pew next Sunday. I thank Nancy Holdsworth for her great rendering of the tree, which appears on the inside back cover, a reminder that this is conclusion of our stewardship season, when we as the church are known by our fruits. Today is also a day when I hope you will linger, perhaps to help us take a picture of the fan club gathered, but also to help with the hanging of the greens, that anticipatory time when we get the church ready, at least partially ready, for the coming of the Advent season and then Christmas. And in this Sunday before Thanksgiving, you will see running throughout our service the theme of giving thanks. I hope you'll realize in a troubled world how blessed we are to have each other as family and to have God, who loves us, in charge. Sarah has an announcement to make. Sarah has been the hardest working person in the church during this season after Will's departure, but she comes with a smile today.
Makes me nervous, so I'm going to pretend you're all seventh graders. As I was thinking last night about stewardship and thanksgiving and completing my pledge card, I thought of words like gratitude, praise, acknowledgement, appreciativeness, grace, gratefulness, and honor. Those words all describe how I feel about this church and my church family. They also describe two in our midst that have offered their leadership, guidance, service, and gifts to this congregation for the past 4 months. They have provided consistency, patience, warmth, humor, and integrity while refusing to accept any compensation. 1 Peter 4:10-11 says, "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ." Walter Jones and Dick Neely embody Peter's words. We as a church, as we move forward in this time of transition, and I think it's very important that we show gratitude, praise, acknowledgement, appreciativeness, grace, gratefulness, and honor to these two fine men who have sustained us as we look to our future with hope. Thank you is not enough. So please accept these gifts and the flowers in your honor today. We are all blessed by your presence within our fold.
Thank you for the kind words, Sarah. Are there other announcements to be made? Then let us share the peace. The peace of Christ be with you all. Make your neighbors feel welcome.
Good morning. In this season of Thanksgiving, I think it's important that we step back once again and think about all we have to be grateful for. We're certainly grateful for Alex choosing to join our church today and for his friends and relatives who've come to visit. We're certainly thankful for all the work that went into our 175th anniversary 2 weeks ago. We're certainly thankful for all of our members. And we're especially thankful for Walter Jones and Dick Neely and all that they have done to keep us together and to keep us moving forward in this time of transition. But there are two other people, I think, who need to be recognized, probably many more, but I'm talking about in terms of Walter and Dick. And I would like to ask them to stand. Gene Jones and Sue Neely. You know, you two ladies have been the power behind the throne. You have agreed to serve by being part of the ministerial family of this church. And we appreciate who you are and what you do for us. And we appreciate, of course, Walter and Dick, but of course, Jean and Sue as well. Thank you. Please stand for the call to worship. The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, the world and those who live in it. Praise the Lord. The Lord's name be praised. Let us pray. God of light and truth, you are beyond our grasp or conceiving. Before the brightness of your presence, the angels veiled their faces. With lowly reverence and adoring love, we acclaim your glory and sing your praise. For you have shown us your truth and love in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. You may be seated. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In humility and faith, let us confess our sin to God, praying first in silence. And together we pray. Merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart and mind and strength. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been, help us amend what we are, and direct what we shall be, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. As God's forgiven people, be merciful in action, kindly in heart, humble in mind. Be always ready to forgive freely as God has forgiven you. And above all else, be loving and never forget to be thankful for what Christ has done for you. With hearts grateful for God's mercies, and in keeping with the example and the teachings of Jesus, we make it our collective purpose to love first, love all. Amen.
Please be seated. This is the point where I invite the children to come forward, but I think the families with the youngest children are not here. Lila, bless your heart. Come down and we can make a point that these other people can learn from. All right, look at this scene. And I'll have to describe it to those of you. I have a lot of little people, all kinds of little people. And they are gathered, and in the Bible story that this is based on, all these little people had a disease called leprosy. It was a bad sickness, so bad that it was even worse than COVID. They had to stay apart from everybody, and wherever they went, it was not only a mask, but they had to say unclean, unclean, because people feared that they would catch leprosy. One day, Jesus was in their neighborhood, and all of these people came to him and asked for him to heal them. And he did. And what he said was, to prove that you're healed, I want you to go and see the priest. And so they went, all 10 of them. All of them going to see the priest, each one grateful now that they've been healed and they can go back to their family and friends. They all went to the priest, who said, "You're all clean. It's a miracle." And it was. And then, sadly, the Bible tells us of all of these people who should be very grateful, only one went back to Jesus and said, "Thank you." The lesson has more implications than that, but for us, at this time of Thanksgiving, it's a reminder that we have so many things to be thankful for that we ought to go back. Oh, hey, Colin, good to see you. Good to see you. Colin, one of these days we can reenact this story over and over. But Colin, it's a lesson about saying thank you.
Jesus did a great thing. He made all these people feel better. And he let them go back to his families, his mom and dad who loved him, and his friends and his grandparents. And then after he had healed them, only one went back to Jesus and said, "Thank you." And our lesson, though you're pretty young to learn this, you'll be reminded by your parents on a regular basis. Always say thank you. Thank you to the people in your lives who do kind things. And thank you to God who loves us and cares for us all our lives and shows us how to be grateful for all the nice things that happen to us. We always close with a prayer together. Colin, I don't know if you can put your hands together, but Mom will help you. Can you do? There we go. Lila, if you'll put your hands together and if you'll join us in a prayer. Dear God, thank you for the lessons of the Bible. Help us always to remember to say thank you to people who help us and to God who loves us. Amen. Thank you very much. So cute. Jesus loves. Thank you, Lila. Can you get it? Good job. They are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Oh, my Lord tells me so. For
me personally, this period of time that we have spent thinking and reflecting on stewardship has brought two things to mind. One of those, and the first of those, is that favorite image of mine from the book of Hebrews that talks about being surrounded by the great cloud of witnesses. And as I thought this week about my own journey, and my own response in this season, I recall how much I have been nurtured and inspired by those witnesses, some past, some present, and many in this room today. They have inspired me by their examples of generosity and compassionate service, which urges me on at all times. The other thing that I've thought about that in relation to stewardship is shaped by my many years is working with church finances and budgets and seeing firsthand how God provides and is in control even when times are difficult and no way forward seems possible. I am convinced that we as individuals or a church respond in generosity to the Spirit's urging, God blesses that response and opens doors for ministry. This season of stewardship is a time for all of us to take stock and remember all that we have and to remember that every blessing of life is a generous gift from God. I believe we're all called to respond generously in response to God's amazing love. And as Peter writes, let us be good stewards of the grace of God, serving one another with whatever gifts you have received. Scripture teaches we are to return to God the first fruits of our labors, not because we must, but out of gratitude for the amazing love we find in Jesus Christ. Now, there's no doubt as we look back over the last couple of years with the pandemic, it's been a difficult time for churches and for individuals. I think it's more important than ever that each of us consider making a pledge towards the work of First Presbyterian in the coming year. I encourage you to join with Mary and me and to give generously to the ministry of First Presbyterian Church. Thanks.
As we prepare to hear God's word in Scripture, let us pray. O God, by your Spirit, tell us what we need to hear and show us what we ought to do to obey Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Our first scripture reading this morning is from Psalms 1. Listen for God's word. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all that they do, they prosper. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. This is the word of the Lord.
If I were a visitor, I would at this point be nervous if the preacher said, over the next hour and a half, I would like for us to cover. We read from Paul's letter to the Colossians. Give ear to what God may be saying to you. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. In our prayers for you, we always thank God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. You have heard of this hope before in the words of truth, the gospel that has come to you, just as it is bearing fruit and growing in the whole world, so it has been bearing fruit among yourselves from the day you heard it and truly comprehended the grace of God. This you learned from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and he has made known to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, as you bear fruit in every good work and as you grow in the knowledge of God. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, so that you may have all endurance and patience, joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued you from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This is the word of the Lord. Perhaps in a brief sermon, we can think of this passage as our Thanksgiving list. I'd like to outline a few of those things for which we can give thanks along with Paul. He addresses the letter to brothers and sisters, and it is wonderful to have those brothers and sisters in the church with us and friends with Alex. It is a great blessing in life to have those who love us and whom we love. Paul writes about prayer, and I have witnessed in you, lo, the many weeks we have prayed for little Cecilia, as well as for those who are mourning, have witnessed power in you and love expressed in ways that I always am touched by. I'm reminded of the blessing that comes because of the hope laid up in heaven, the fact that we are enabled to share in the inheritance of the saints of life. I think of Valerie in the loss of her mother, and Curtis in the loss of Pat, and Anil in the loss of Trammell, and others who mourn, but mourn with hope because beyond this world, there is that reunion toward which we all move. What great news it is. And news, too, that God loves us even in this life. God's grace is with us. God brought us together here and taught us about his love and called us to be loving in his name, to go into the world and to love first, love all. The name Epaphras is listed in the letter as a beloved fellow servant. I think back about our most recent 10 years, Tyler Downing and his courage, and then Cindy Parr and her spark, Will Scott, our pastor for 8 years, and Dick and I now for some months, and Ken on the way. Always the baton of faith being passed to someone who will be reliable and will pick up the journey with us. I look forward to returning to my seat in the sanctuary, confident that when Ken comes, and then the one who will follow him, will lead us toward important things in Christ's name. All of this based in part upon our growing knowledge of God's will. The Greek behind this letter speaks both of the large principles that we learn in church and also the application. We begin small. I was doing a children's sermon one time, and said to the children gathered around, "Does anybody know what a vow is?" A vow. There was a pause, and then with a smile of recognition, this little child raised a hand and said, "A-E-I-O-U." We begin there, and then we learn the lessons about saying thanks, about sharing. If we have two coats, and I'm amazed at the crowd of coats that you've given because of the appeal for those who are cold, we hear the story of the Good Samaritan, and we go about caring. We learn of God's forgiveness, and it imparts upon us the importance of forgiving others. And then on the stewardship season, I should mention that it teaches us about tithing, the idea that in the old days they gave 10% of their crops, and now we give 10% of what we have. I was fresh out of the Navy. I won't be unfamiliar to you. I had gone back to school, so I had the GI Bill, and I was working 20 hours a week, and stewardship season came in this first church we had belonged to in marriage, and I said, "What do you think we ought to give?" And she said, "We ought to tithe." And I said, "What?" I mean, it was not for lack of knowledge. It was just, wait a minute. If you look at our budget, I looked around at our congregation and said to her, "What we can give will not matter to these people." And she said to me, "Maybe not, but it will matter to us." She was right. We learn principles and then applications, and we grow in knowledge thanks to all of you who are teaching now, teaching adults, teaching children, teaching those basic lessons, and then by your example, showing what it looks like in real life, you are pleasing God, as Paul calls us to do, by bearing fruit in every good work. I went this week to Friendship House. This is a program where children from families with modest incomes get to enjoy a good education and the embrace of love. Several of us went to serve. I looked at the women who were there and thought, this is the best educated wait staff in Whitfield County. But how nice to think you can serve a meal that might otherwise have been missed. And I think looking at Nancy's tree of all the things this church does to help others, you draw upon the strength of God's own power, sometimes for service, sometimes for endurance, and I have seen heroism in this congregation, and patience too. This letter could have been written to us, not new in the faith, nevertheless a reminder, a thanksgiving list, if you will, of all the things we have experienced and all the things we have to give thanks for. And then the passage concludes with this: He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. I suppose I could explain that, but shortly you're going to witness it happen. Alex asked that we sing "Eternal Father, Strong to Save" because of his family's connection to the Navy, and it resonates with a number of us who have served in the Navy as well. While we stand and sing, I ask Alex and Hilliard Jolly, Clerk of Session, to come forward for the baptism. Let us sing together.
Thank you.
Please be seated. I remind you that when Jesus prepared to ascend to his Father, he left us with these words: "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I had commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." Alex, I don't know what insignia you might wear on a uniform one day, but these words of baptism ring with Navy words too: authority, commission, command. You present yourself now for baptism, and we rejoice in that fact. When we come for baptism, we must answer questions of faith. And so, on behalf of the church, I ask you, trusting in the gracious mercy of God, you turn from the ways of sin and renounce evil and its power in the world. Do you?
I do.
Who is your Lord and Savior?
Christ.
Will you be Christ's faithful disciple, obeying his word and showing his love?
We, as members of the Church of Jesus Christ, promise to guide and nurture Alex by word and deed, with love and prayer, and encourage him to know and follow Christ and be a faithful member of his church. Do we?
We do.
Let us pray. We give you thanks, Holy God, for all that nourishes and sustains living things, for the gift of water. In the beginning of time, your Spirit moved over chaos, calling forth order and life. In the time of Noah, you destroyed evil by the waters of the flood, giving righteousness a new beginning. You led Israel out of slavery through the waters of the sea into the freedom of the promised land. Waters of Jordan. Jesus himself was baptized by John and anointed with your Spirit. By the baptism of his own death and resurrection, Christ set us free from sin and death and opened the way to eternal life. Thank you, O God, for the water of baptism. For in it we are buried with Christ in his death. From it we are raised to share in his resurrection. Through it, we are reborn by the power of the Holy Spirit. God, we pray that your Spirit move over this water, that it be a fountain of deliverance and rebirth. Wash away any sins that cling to Alex, raise him to new life, and graft him into the body of Christ. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon him, that he may have power to do your will and continue forever in the risen life of Christ. This we pray, your praise, honor, and glory. Believer in Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Wherever in life you go with this sign upon your forehead and Christ's seal upon your heart. So glad to have you. They stand now with you to affirm what we all believe, what makes us one in Christ. I believe in I encourage you to take this list home with you, the list of prayer needs in our congregation, and to use it during the week as a reminder of the needs of those we love. Let us pray. God, we bow before you with heart grateful for Alex's joining with us, his profession of the faith we all share. We are mindful of those who are no longer with us or who struggle on this day. We pray for little Cecilia and her parents under the great stress of day-by-day watching. We remember Annelle and her family in their loss of Trammell, Mary Dover adjusting to a new living space, Greg George and those who love him who have watched so long for the possibility of ease, McCoy Temple's beloved of us and now adjusting, for Curtis who mourns, for Stan and all those dealing with health challenges, Kristen as well. Lord, we pray for these. Pray, Lord, in your mercy. We pray for Shirley and Mark, for Becky and Jimmy, for Comer, for Elizabeth, Tanja, and Debbie, those who are dear to the hearts of our own, saying, Lord, in your mercy. And for the Lumpkins and the Littles and the Blackman, for Bill Johnson, on behalf of Arden and his family, for Tom and Wilson, all those affected by COVID and all those caregivers and all those aging, sometimes in far off places, sometimes struggling with challenges beyond age. Help us to reach out as we can. And we pray, Lord, in your mercy. Lord, you have been so good to us to call us here as part of your larger family. Hear us now as we pray the prayer which Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. It's a long tradition in the church that on this Stewardship Sunday, those of us who pledge on a card come forward to put our offerings for the week or our cards in one of these two offering plates. But many people do things electronically in a way that I will never understand, but I can explain this simply. If you give in some other way or you simply want to express thanks to God for this day, in the pew rack in front of you, there's a little card. You can simply pick that up and bring it forward to express to God whatever you want to express. I invite you, as the choir begins to sing, to come forward with a card or with a pledge or with hopes for life in Christ that involves you. Walk by faith. with the Apostle Paul, we lift our thanks for so many things in this season of Thanksgiving. For crops enough for ourselves and to share. For love from you and plenty to share. For finding our place, our home here, and welcoming others. For all good things, we give you thanks and praise. Amen. On this special occasion, I invite all those who came especially to see Alex to come down front. We'd like to make group pictures of you to commemorate the day. For those of you who are willing and able, we'll be hanging the greens, preparing for Christmas at the close of the service. For the session, the offices of the church, we'll meet briefly for a meeting in the session room. Now, I charge you to go forth being thankful for all that God has done for you and for the potential of doing good to others on God's behalf and in His name. And as you go, may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you love and peace now and always. Amen.
Oh. don't always start off with what we thought we were going to be or do, or and then somewhere along the way.
Proud.
I know you are.
Oh, I got a gift.
Yeah.